was trying to sort out the penalties they had called, did not realize that his microphone was on. We listened to his entire conversation, and it was a rather salty description of the Brad Johnson fight and Trey Johnson ejection.
And you need something for Don and Mike. You'll hear it on their show.
Yeah, everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
You, Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Seawack. Take it away, Rob.
You, the singer. Thank you, Jim 7, and good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Five Seas and Bruises and all the ships at sea. Hey, here to proudly wave the Irish flag is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I guess you had to be at the show last night.
Thank you, Rob.
The Irish flag.
And hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide. We are still nationally syndicated via the auspices of the Westwood One Radio Network.
How many stations do we have?
Double nickel.
Yeah.
Count them every day.
Wow.
Two separate printed pages of affiliates. 55 stations carry the show every day through our flagship station, WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C. We're very proud to say we have over 5 million nationally rated Arbitron listeners, and we thank you for your patronage.
All right.
Of course, no thanks goes to Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Germal, Big Daddy Miller, Donald Monkey Boy Ephraim, and here he is, my left and to your right, quite the artiste he is.
Oh, he is indeed.
With the liquid latex, there is our friend, Jack Kent Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, it's Mike Snod.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
I didn't realize it myself.
Yeah, I thought I had the button front. Hello, Buzz.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's February 3rd.
February 3rd.
Right. February 3rd.
February 3rd.
February 3rd, 1999. Scratch that, 2000.
Right. Yesterday you said Feb. I thought that was the way you were going to permanently, you were going to go Feb 3 or Feb 4.
February. February.
February.
And our telephone number is 1-877-365-3636. I will give you in advance a bit of notice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looping. From the Vegas show.
Yeah.
It's a long way to go.
It's a long way to Baltimore.
Isn't that a long way to...
Tipperary.
To Tupperware.
Right.
Tupperware. It's a long way to Tupperware. Last night, we made... You know, we just got to start getting a mule team to go out on these road shows.
I think we should have a big 18-wheeler with Don and Mike Carnival on the side of it.
Yeah. We went all the way to Baltimore last night. Made it through the traffic and through all the accidents. And by the time we arrived at Bo Hager's in Baltimore,
yes,
incidentally, in what I consider to be the finest part of Baltimore,
absolutely,
the joint was packed.
Get the bear down
in the leaky, dripping Bo Dome.
The Bo Dome, which the owner was explaining to me, Mr. Bo Hager, was explaining to me that the room actually, they have their own weather system. It's so big that the condensation occurs when they get the vents and the air conditioning going, air conditioning, or the heater in this case, and the ceiling was dripping, causing like a rainforest effect in there.
It's very much like when you see an NFL team that plays in a bad weather city,
right,
where the team has like this inflatable dome type place that they practice in.
Right.
We were in something like that. They had about 2,000 people in last night. We want to say thank you to everybody that came out last night.
Yeah, good turnout. Still icy, still nasty up there. You know, a lot of people, I'm surprised that nobody cracked their skull open.
Yeah. And a very, very, very wonderful crowd. No BS.
Right. Absolutely good group.
Everybody was great. We had last night at the all-new retooled Year 2000 Vegas-style show, more totally naked people on stage than we've ever had at a Las Vegas-style show.
It was a free-form program. It was a free spirit, a lot of free spirits up on that stage.
We actually counted, and by the end of the evening, there were 24 different naked people on stage. Not people just in their underwear.
Right.
Not people just running around with their jeans on and no shirt on. Absolutely.
Naked.
Butt naked. I mean, girls.
And all having a great time doing it.
With the boobs and the garden and the guys with the twig and the berries. As a matter of fact, we may have seen a few too many twig and berries.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. There were more twigs and berries than I don't want to see anymore for the rest of my life.
And it was the debut of the Nude Feud, which was a smashing success.
Great.
I can't believe that every time we've tried to do that show on the radio, that we've not been able to get people to come down here to do it, because last night we ended up having an overload of people.
I don't think anybody knew it was going to be as successful as it was. It was incredible.
We ended up making two gigantic teams. We had so many people.
It was perfect for the Las Vegas style show. It's perfect for any time we do it here. It's a great game. It translates nudity and feud go together perfectly.
And there's nothing better than watching a group of people. There were six people on each team.
Right.
When they would get a question wrong,
right,
all six members of the losing team would have to take off a piece of clothing at the same time. So simultaneously, one side of the stage would be standing, semi-dressed. The other side, all the people would be down on the floor, taking their pants off.
Yeah, and the way that we did it, which was great, was the people would come up and they would stand at the podium, and then they would slam their hands down on Rob's hand when they would answer correctly.
Right.
And then Dom would ask him the question, and if the other team got it right, then everybody on the opposition would have to remove an article of clothing. It's not like the Louis Anderson feud, where...
Certainly not.
Where he walks back over just as well with this motley crew that we had.
Yeah. They were real anxious to get naked,
they
though.
They surely were, but it was great. It was like, it was the streamlined version, and it worked great.
Also, Buzz, with his liquid latex, Buzz not only liquid latexed the gelatinous breasts of Cheryl the Big Dyke,
mm-hmm.
he also pulled a gal out of the crowd, and what a guy Buzz is. What a trooper. However, we finally found where Buzz will not go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
Buzz on this show has kissed girls on the behind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Buzz has actually strapped a sexual aid on his face.
Yes, and had someone sit on him.
He's done a lot of stuff, and at these shows, he paints girls' breasts.
Yes.
And many times he will actually, with his mouth, pull the liquid latex off. However, last night,
mm-hmm.
when it came time to peel Cheryl the Big Dyke,
that's where Buzz drew his line in the sand, said, I'm not doing it.
Buzz would not use his mouth.
But he actually did come around towards the end, and from about a 12-inch to 1 to 2 foot distance from Cheryl, he actually got the latex and he pulled it with his
teeth. Oh, I did. Yeah, I did.
He's a trooper. He's a company guy.
Buzz,
you know me, and, you know, play along with this. I don't go where I'm not invited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheryl, being lesbian, you know, I mean, I know she's, you know, doesn't like guys.
But you sure did a good job painting her incredible surface area.
There was a lot to cover, but mm-hmm. I think we covered it.
Used nearly a gallon of latex just on her left breast alone.
And at one point, I turned around, and you were talking, and I was facing the back of the stage, and I looked, and I saw Dennis Murphy with his stomach painted with a smiley face in latex.
Right.
And I saw Homo Joe sitting up on his stool, and I saw Cheryl the Big Dyke with her with her harness on. And I looked, and I saw all of the people that come to these Las Vegas style shows, and I set up the tents. Just put, you know, what we ought to have is like a circus parade through town when we're coming to do these shows.
And poor Dennis. Dennis got his stomach liquid latex. Mm-hmm. And as you know from when we had our back passing show, Dennis is a hairy man.
Very
he is
hairy.
Like Bigfoot, for goodness sake.
He is indeed.
And last night after Buzz liquid latexed a smiley face on Dennis's chest and belly, when we had three lovely girls from the crowd come up and actually peel the latex, it was painful to watch and certainly painful to hear, because they were pulling out a lot of Dennis's chest hair.
And I asked him at one point, I said, is this the pain and the pleasure? And he said yes, because he was really being worked on by, what, four women at one point?
Four beautiful women. We also had the chance to meet Homo Joe's new boy toy, who spent a lot of time backstage with us.
Nice guy.
Notice he was wearing, like, Spice Girl shoes?
He was. He was wearing big patent leather, like, boxy shoes.
Very shiny.
And, I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he fit into the group because he just kind of sat there and, you know, he'd say something occasionally. It wouldn't be on the line, and I hardly noticed the guy back there.
Yeah, he was a good guy, and thank God Joe kept his hands off him when we were around.
Joe was very respectful, and but he's younger than Joe, and you know how Joe is.
Fiery redhead.
School-marmed Homo Joe.
You had to know that happened last night. I'm sure we'll hear a report from Homo Joe. Hello, Don and Mike Joe. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Yeah.
There was a spider that was going to one girl that was dancing.
The what?
The stomach of the girl that was dancing.
The what of the girl that was dancing?
He's talking about the spider tattoo, I think.
Yeah.
You remember that?
There were
so many tattoos.
Yeah, lots of those girls had tattoos. Like, you were at the show last night, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, are you sure it wasn't a crab?
You mean like a real crab?
No, like a
Baltimore crab?
Are you saying that you thought she had crabs?
Well, are you saying it was a Baltimore blue crab?
I'm saying that it was a good chance you probably did.
Have the crab.
Have crab.
Oh,
okay,
thank,
yeah,
you, thank you so much.
Thank you. Hello, Don. It's my show.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, my friend.
I was at the show last night.
Yeah.
I've been listening to you for a long time. AU alumni like Mike, and I just want to say that with the new feud, the two of you have outdone yourself. It was amazing.
You know, we wanted to try to make the Vegas style shows different in the year 2000.
You right. Have
right.
Succeeded. You
yeah,
have actually outdone yourself.
I didn't, you know,
the people that did not show up from Baltimore, Washington, missed out on something.
I didn't know until, you know, you came up with this idea for the show, and I said, I know it's going to be good. I know it'll work, but I had no idea that it would be that perfect for the Las Vegas style show.
It's beautiful.
It gets everybody, it gets a lot more people involved and a lot more people that can come up there and just get wild up on the stage, and I think it's fantastic.
It adds a lot of action to the show, I think, a lot more, because there are a lot more people on stage doing more things at the same time.
And at one point, when the losing family had to take off all their clothes, they were not shy about it.
Right.
You were talking about guys, girls, some of them attractive, some of them, you know, frankly, look like they just came out of a car wreck. And the good thing about it is that, you know, last night in that particular location, it was you know, Katie barred the door.
Right.
Forget it. Everybody was getting naked.
Total frontal nudity.
But that's a game that works even if you get some guy down to his skivvies. You know, that game can work. Whatever the community standards are, you can have a good time playing that
game. That's when I had the most surreal moment when I looked over and I saw the family that had lost the game. And they were all naked. And the guy with the redneck beard.
Yeah, the guy was really like Johnny Redneck. Like, if you look up redneck in the dictionary, you use his picture.
He was totally naked except for his big cowboy boots.
Right.
And he looked at me and he went, "Hey, John, look at me." He started shaking his hips and he got a twig and his berries going back and forth.
Something about the large group that causes people to truly lose their inhibitions. They're in a group. You know, it's the family. And so they were just all doing all the, and they were definitely doing the redneck. Redneck dancing, too.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, it was Baltimore's finest naked.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Glad you had a good time. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, this is Mike.
Hello, Mike.
I enjoyed the show, and the thing I enjoyed the best was the underwear fashion show. And I just wanted to say that I talked to that girl who won, Michelle, with the tattoos and the pierced tongue and everything.
Yes.
And Charlie Stoffer, when he was, like, making the final decision, he made it sound like, well, she's from Baltimore, so I guess I have to give it to her. And I just wanted to, you know, I told her that I thought that she was the best one that won. And then she said, they didn't give me my bra back. And,
I threw that out to the crowd.
We asked
on stage, did anybody forget their bra, and nobody came up to claim it, so I just tossed it out to the crowd.
Well, it sounded like she won it. I said, by the way, what size was that? And in case anybody was curious, she seemed kind of proud. She said 34 double D.
Yes,
and,
34 double G, right next to the Burman Seltzer Tower.
And then I said, well, I think they look kind of nice hanging the way they are, you know, I don't... There was a couple girls that
you
had...
You get the impression this guy's trying, like, to recreate a drunken conversation. It's not making sense to me.
It sounds to me like this is probably one of the great moments in this guy's life. This guy struck up a conversation.
I just regret I didn't ask for a phone number, but I guess it's a little awkward. You know, if you see a girl buck naked and say, by the way, anyway, I really enjoyed the show.
Thank you.
Glad you guys know.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks. He had a thing going for the girl who won the underwear fashion.
I was just trying to draw the connection between the beginning of his statement. He was talking about Charlie Stossel saying the girl's from Baltimore, and I thought for a minute he was going to criticize the decision of the judge, and Charlie was really going with the crowd on that lady that won.
We ended up with, I think, 9 girls in the underwear fashion show, came down to 2. We had to have a dance-off, and frankly, I was surprised by the crowd's voting, but
so was I.
You know, we go with what people say. The girl who lost was real cute. They were both real cute,
yes.
But the girl who lost had these gigantic fake boobs.
Right, yeah, huge. Hey,
I mean, huge. Just gigantic. And from what I could tell, a real clean job. I didn't see any scars or anything.
She looked pretty solid. She was proud of them.
And it was a stunning upset.
Yes, it was.
When the local Baltimore gal took it away from the girl who had the implant.
And it was, lots of free spirits in that competition, too. And as you said, a new record was set in Baltimore last night with the numbers of news on stage.
More than we've ever had. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you?
Christ, I like doing those shows. God damn it, that's fun. Hello.
My name is Joe. I'm from Baltimore. And beside the rain inside, it was a fantastic show.
That was funny. That rain cracked me up.
The Drippy Bodome.
You know, a couple of times I thought it was just people drooling at some of the women on stage, but it was actually coming from up above.
You know, I thought it was funny. It was at one point, they had just a killer sound system. We're used to going into places where they have awful sound.
Right.
But this place had a killer sound system. And at one point, all of a sudden, they turned down our microphone noticeably. So we were up on stage talking to the guy who owns the place, and we said, turn the microphones back up. And he said, the neighbors are complaining.
What neighbors are?
Yeah, the neighbor. What? The people, the whores at the crack house next to her are complaining?
I mean, within at least a block, I don't think there's a private residence there.
The place is in a neighborhood district.
It is, okay.
And we do want to thank the Baltimore Police Department because he told us that the cops were outside. The cops always come to our show,
right? Mm-hmm.
And at one point, the cops were coming in.
Mm-hmm.
The guy stopped him at the door and said, everything's cool. Don't worry. Keep the noise down. And it was at that point that we got all 2,000 people to say at the same time, F the neighbors.
F the neighbors. And that's when they should turn their microphones back up.
Yeah.
You know, because the crowd noise itself was louder than our microphones.
So much thanks to the Baltimore PD.
Yeah. And the guys at Bo Hager's, the owner's there, you know, he's always a great guy. And it's just, you know, I think in the third time we've been up there. And he gets the joke. He understands what we do. And everybody has a good time. Do you notice that when that happens, when you've got a guy like that gets the joke, that understands it, that we get in there, we do our thing, we have a great time, and it's just, you know, everybody has a blast. No fuss, no muss. It's when they all start getting freaked out that things become ridiculous. You know, that's a perfect example of a great Las Vegas show.
And this guy that ran this club, Mr. Bohager, he had his wife there. This guy, Mr. Bohager, I would estimate he's in his mid to late 50s,
mm-hmm.
and his wife was probably the same age.
Yep.
And when we got done with the first part of the show, after we had, I don't know, 12 or 13 totally naked people dancing on stage, we came around the corner, and I made direct eye contact with his wife, and I was ready for what I get a lot of times, which is the lecture.
Oh, absolutely.
And instead, I was pleasantly surprised. She said, this is the best show I've ever seen in my life. This is really a good show.
Yeah, they get it. They really do.
That was very nice. Mm-hmm. Hello, Johnny. Johnny.
Yes, sir.
Johnny, buddy.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing
fantastic show last night.
Glad you made it,
fantastic.
My friend. Glad you were there.
Only thing that the problem with the new feud is they couldn't differentiate between that and Match Game. Because what kind of answer is things that you don't clean out often and someone says, vagina.
Yeah, that was one of the answers we had. Although he could have been talking about one of the women up on the stage. He could have been talking about the girl with the Redskins jersey.
Oh, that was fantastic.
It's a fantastic show. Homo Joe, you got to keep him around because he acts like a great older sister when it's time to get girls up for the
He does a great job.
Yeah. Humble Joe is a great pimp for us.
Mm-hmm. His pimp hand is strong.
To find girls who come out and get up on stage, you love to participate.
Absolutely.
Hold on, Mike. Here's a guy you want to talk to. Here's Joe.
Joe here, Dynamite.
Humble
and
Joe.
And
Hold on, Humble Joe. I want to talk to the other Joe first. I want to talk to Joe with the little penis.
Ah, the Irish Vine?
Joe with the little penis?
That would be me.
Hi, Joe with the little penis. Are you calling us from your airboat?
What's that?
It sounds good. You got a bad connection, but I guess we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Joe got up on stage.
Very mellow. Sounds like he's very mellow today.
And he, when he got up on stage, first he said, I want to say I love my wife, and I want to announce to everybody that I have the world's smallest.
And he called it Irish flag. I have the world's smallest Irish flag.
And then he pulled his pants down and
I didn't see it. I did not get a look at it because I turned away. Was it as small as he said?
Yes. I've seen babies who are bigger, frankly.
You announced it to the world and then you proved it, sir.
Well, you know, I like to back up my claims.
There you go.
Yo, listen, I wish I could talk to you, but that hum on the telephone is just god-awful. All right, now here's the aforementioned homosexual Joseph.
Hi, hey, Joe. I'm Mike and Buzz and Bob A.
Homosexual Joseph, he has really turned into the house mother of our Las Vegas style shows.
Mm-hmm. And everybody seemed to like your date, Joe.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Oh, that was nice.
What happened with your boy toy last night?
Well, we went to dinner prior to the show around the corner of an Italian restaurant, and then we came down to the show, and then we drove back home, and he fell asleep in the car, and it was very proper. dropped him off, gave him a kiss goodnight, and on his way he went. And
you didn't dry hump him while he was sleeping?
No, I was very professional.
You didn't, like, explore between two pillows or anything like that?
No, no.
Take his temperature?
No, I'm trying to be really good. Remember I said the celibacy? I'm trying to see if I could change my ways.
Now, do you like this guy a lot?
He's very nice. Very nice.
Oh, you know, I'm getting something from Joe.
Well, I think I'm going to call him this afternoon, and then we're going to go to Cheryl's birthday party on Saturday.
Cheryl's birthday party.
The big day.
Just a non-stop party for you, isn't it, Joe?
But the thing that scared me is that guy that was on the news Family Feud and dropped those few rings on the floor.
Some guy dropped some of his... C-word for guy rings.
Yeah.
The guy actually left them on the stage. Nobody wanted to touch them, but fortunately we have Joe.
Actually, Cheryl picked them up with her riding crop.
Retrieve them, which was sick, even sicker.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and said, they are a lot bigger than what you're putting on, sir.
Joe, is that what they really were?
Yeah, that's what they exactly were.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know, it was a gross moment.
I said, you have a big imagination.
My God.
It was a totally gross moment.
It was very gross.
Well, Joe, you're excellent at shuttling people back and forth between the backstage area, going out and pimping people to come up and be on the show. And I was glad to see last night that Joe got a real nice reception, because frankly, some of the places we go when we bring him out, you know,
yeah, they tend to be a little homophobic.
Some
right?
people boo him and stuff, but he got a wonderful ovation last night.
It's very hard to get through the crowd to get girls because everybody wanted to talk to me. It's like, you know, I have a job to do. I want to get some girls up there. We'll talk later.
You got a much better reception than Charles Stossel got.
I did, and then this one guy wanted to buy my shirt off my back, and I said, "That's not for sale. Just wait. They're going to be online soon. I'll let you know when they are."
I think remember when Dennis Murphy flipped me off last night? I think he was really mad that I threw his T-shirt into the crowd.
Oh, that was a great moment. Yes. When Dennis finally, after years and years of taking it, turned around and just flipped Mike off.
Dennis Murphy was booing some of the girl contestants on stage, too.
Dennis Murphy had a hot belief. That's not calling the pot, not calling the kettle black. I don't know what it is. What was the deal with Stossel? Stossel seemed to be a bit irritable last night.
He was a little uptight.
He wasn't irritable when Rob and Charlie Stossel and I went out to Little Italy. Right after the show, and we were giggling like schoolgirls there. But I noticed up on stage that at one point he was just a little sullen. He likes to have the ladies during the underwear fashion show really cater to him.
Yeah, Charlie. Basically, we put him on a stool on the corner of the stage, and he's the judge for the female part of the underwear fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what Charlie Stoff, the movie man, wants is he wants 10 or 12 lap dances in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like it. At least this is what I surmised.
Right.
He didn't like the fact that the girls are playing to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes it when the girl comes over, takes her bra off, and drapes her bra around his neck.
Homo Joe, I defy anybody to see Rob and Charlie Stossel and myself and hear us giggling in the little Italy restaurant that we were in, and not think that we were members of the gay community.
Yeah,
it was just three of us going, "Oh, thank you. Yes, the pasta's great."
Well, Joe, thank you as always, my friend.
It's my pleasure. I guess maybe I'll have to design some sort of buzzards for this new feud game if we're going to do that more.
Got it, Mike. Hubbo Joe here. And I would want to give Joe one more compliment. I know I say this about gay people in general, but really, Joe, he is so organized.
Yes, he is.
I really appreciate that about most gay people I know. They're super organized. And last night, Joe came with all of his various clipboards. And
mm-hmm.
He's got little computer printouts to do judging and junk.
Right. When we get the 18-wheeler, we'll have you decorate it.
And don't forget the beer opener, just in case you don't have one.
That's right. He brought a beer opener.
Goodbye, Hubbo Joe.
Okay, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's off to plan another gay party.
The only moment with Joe that I found a little awkward was right before the show, sitting backstage, and I was just cutting a cigar, and I was looking for a lighter, and all of a sudden from around the corner, "May I light that for you?"
I didn't know he lit your cigar.
I said, no, I didn't let him. I said, "Joe, I'll handle that."
"Thank you.
I'm ready to light your cigar." Donna Mike, Hubbo Joe here.
Thank you. Hubbo Joe.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Oops.
I was talking about how Homo Joe does that when he's talking. Sometimes you'll hear him. He does that little stutter stuff with that. Where he'll be, if he gets really excited about it, like, "How was your day?" "Oh, we went out to the coffee house."
"Hello." "Oh, you know what? These stupid phones." "Hello, Don and Mike Show."
"I want to give a nipply shout out to Dirty Alex."
Hold on a second. Dennis Murphy, major effing star Dennis Murphy. How dare you? Flip off! How dare you flip off Mike O'Mara last night?
Well, the reason why I did that, I really didn't want to get my stomach leaked, so I just said, "What the hell? I flipped Mike off."
Well, I thought you were mad at me for throwing your T-shirt into the crowd.
You know, Mike, I wasn't pissed about that. I was curious about the latex going on my stomach.
And Dennis, I didn't really want to paint the latex on, but I noticed you just aren't speaking to me anymore, are you?
No, boss. I don't know how you putting the latex on my stomach.
Oh, okay. Who's on the phone?
No, boss.
I forgot that. I was talking to him for a moment. I was soliciting. Who's speaking right now?
Dennis Murphy.
Oh, I know not just Dennis Murphy. I used to know a Dennis Murphy, but he's dead to me now.
I was just funning you.
Yeah.
Didn't look like you were funning him, Dennis.
But, hey, God, I didn't want to let you know I'm still pulling latex off my stomach.
Dennis, why were you so violently booing some of the women in the competition? Are you away, Dennis? Hold on. I want to make you aware of something, that you were the only one, either in the crowd or on stage, who was screaming. I mean, everybody was enjoying the show, and then I looked over at you, and you're going,
boo! Boo! The reason why I did it, I spoke with Dawn beforehand, and she said she was going to take her top off, but she didn't do it. She just gave a pin shot.
Oh, so you were angry that she didn't take her top off.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was angry.
What did you say? She gave everybody a pube shot?
A peep shot.
Okay, all right.
No, but I had a great time, and I want to say hello to Special K who I met afterwards.
Special K.
I'm still sensing a lot of anger from Dennis.
Mike, I can never be angry with you.
Okay.
You know you're his favorite, Mike.
I know, ever since he spent a night in my home.
All right, goodbye, Dennis.
And also, you become like Christmas
bill,
so I'm a little bit angry about that.
Well, Dennis, I mean, flip everybody off, because everybody returned your Christmas
gift. Except Rob.
Except for Rob.
Rob enjoyed it.
All right, goodbye, Dennis.
Okay, have a pleasant day, Dennis. Bud?
Yes, Dennis.
Thanks for latex.
Oh, you bet, buddy.
Mike?
What?
I'll see you later.
Goodbye, Dennis.
Bye.
I smell a feud.
Yeah. It's always been bubbling under the surface, you know, ever since he spent the night in a bed in my home.
Mm-hmm. Love, hate. Such a fine line.
Well, I think, you know, it is that way. I don't know whether to hug him or to push him away.
Hello, not on my show.
There's tension.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this is Matt Garn from Cocky Store. Just want to thank you guys for coming down to Baltimore.
Oh, well, thank you for coming out last night, my friend.
Yeah, good show. Just want to let you know, a lot of the women there were pretty good, but some of the crowd and some of the women were not indicative of the people from Baltimore.
Well, you know what? I said something last night on stage, and I really meant it. Please keep in mind when you come to our Las Vegas style shows, the women that you see up on stage, they are not professionals.
Yes, and when you hear us utter that disclaimer at the end of our show, you'll know that we're aware of the level of talent that sometimes gets up on that stage.
There was some real cellulite and some real cottage cheese last night.
They were asses, seriously, the size of brand new Volkswagen Beetles. And we've been to Baltimore before, so we've seen better and worse.
But yeah, I give Don credit. He was really pushing the envelope on some of those. Like, come on, girls, you really gotta take it off now.
That's a wonderful compliment. Thank you.
That's his job.
Thank you, my friend. Glad you enjoyed the show.
No problem. Thanks for coming down.
Yeah, we can always count on Don to goose the ladies to take it all off.
Thank God for me.
Yeah.
Thank God for me there to push them over the edge. Come on, honey. You can take those pants off.
I didn't understand Charlie Stoss, the limited crowd was cheering for the bigger girl. I thought the blonde by far, Angie.
Yeah, I think I kind of like the blonde also, but the crowd overwhelmingly wanted Michelle.
Yeah. I guess it's just a lot of people that call in, I guess, the proud 4% were more vocal during some of these shows.
I don't think that it was necessarily that all the people who voted for the girl who won were unemployed.
I don't think so. No.
I think that she was really a Baltimoran. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She's a Baltimorean.
She might have had the real, breast and the fake breast club, too.
That could be it.
Michelle's, those were, she's had those her whole life.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
No problem. Take it easy.
Thank you, man.
You could go.
Well, what a show.
I love when we do post-game analysis.
Yeah. What a show. What a show. I got home very, very late, came in. Frida said, how was the show? I said, we had 25 naked people on stage.
She gave you a knowing pass?
Yeah. I just got the push.
Get away.
I got the push. Just go to your side of the bed.
I always forget, the morning after, because Laura was asleep when I got home. Mm-hmm. And I woke up in the morning, and I said, good morning. And I go over to give her a hug, and as I'm hugging, she says, okay, how was your show? She pulls away.
I can tell my wife she got a round of applause.
Yeah.
She was pleased.
Oh, we did announce Buzz's wife last night.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
The memory of the widow Elston. Hello, Ben.
What's up? Yeah. And I just want to give you guys mad props on your show last night. It was amazing. Drove all the way up from Washington to see that.
It was a good one.
It was a good one. I would like to also give my props to Buzz Burbank. I have been quite a fan of his for many years.
Why do I see something coming with this guy?
Yeah.
Why do I hear the tone? Yes, go continue, sir. Go ahead.
I'm being straight up with you guys.
Very good.
I listen to Buzz's weekend show on WJFK.
Here we go.
What?
We're just waiting. You have that tone in your voice that you're going to drop something on.
Go ahead.
I'm not dropping anything. I seriously wanted to give you guys your props, and I can't wait for the next one.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Very good.
I love that.
Take care.
Oh, all right, that landline did not go off.
Very nice.
No,
I thought Joe Mama was lurking around the corner.
Let's talk to one more person, then we have a show to get to today. I do want to talk to this guy. This is Jesse, the man who took the Hobo Joe Challenge last night on stage at the Vegas show.
Hello, Jesse, the truck driver.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Here is Jesse's girl.
How's it going, guys? I want to tell you that the only reason I did that was I didn't want to hold your show up anymore.
But Jesse, you're a good man. Thank you, my friend. What a nice thing to do.
If that was your motivation, that's terrific.
Well, it's pretty sad nobody there had the balls to do it. And plus, it was for money, so.
Right, that's right.
Sometimes
we have to work the crowd a little bit to get somebody to get up on stage and do that.
Have you washed the taste of Joe out of your mouth yet?
Hell yeah, it was the first thing I did.
That's terrific.
Now, in the Homo Joe Challenge, who was the aggressor? Was Joe the aggressor?
Definitely him. I was stepping away.
Stepping away, but of course, to win the money, you did have to maintain the seal.
Yeah, I just got to keep my fiance from hearing about it.
Well, this is a good way to keep her from hearing about it and call us on the radio.
Don't listen to it.
Thank you, Jesse.
Jesse
Thank
can
you.
Regale all the other truckers with the stories of his evening with Homo Joe.
Hello, Eric.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Love this film.
Glad you came out.
That's my first one, and all I can say is wow.
Yeah, pretty top notch.
Wow.
Yeah,
just
it was.
Remedy the,
wow.
Just sitting back here relaxing the butt, driving my truck.
Did I hear something like relaxing with a bud and driving my truck? That's what it sounded like.
Is that what you said?
No, I drive a propane truck for a living, and I'm just playing with the drinking a bud part.
He was just playing
just
with the
drinking a bud part.
Yeah, that's my life. I'm playing with driving this truck and drinking. I don't do that.
Thanks, guys. All right, thank you, Eric.
No problem.
Bye-bye. You're driving down the highway, and you see a guy in a propane truck.
Weaving back and forth.
One of those quart bottles of beer. You know, he just gives you a little tip when you drive by. Hey, how you doing?
Well, it was a good show. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. We will announce the next Las Vegas-style show very soon.
Excellent.
And I'll give you one hint.
Mm-hmm.
Out of state. When I say out of state, I don't mean D.C., Maryland, or Virginia.
All right.
I mean out of state.
Way out of state.
Way out there. Toe tapping, touch tones are right there. Let's start today's show with a caller 100 and a chance for you to win up to $10,000. Fantastic. With the secret celebrity laugh number 3 of lies straight ahead, be the 100th person to call the dead man walking, Paul Rockhead. Right now, his days are numbered. Telephone number is 1-877-365-3630.
Big show?
That's where we're going next month.
With the car.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's right, Buzz. Buzz will be the only one excited about that trip.
Coming home.
Going to Wichita again.
Right.
Next month.
Excellent.
For a Las Vegas-style show.
Fantastic.
You know it's going to be jammed with tourists this time of year.
Sure it will, Buzz.
Very good. Well, at least we're going in cool weather this time.
Just ahead of caller 100, I just wanted to mention, well, I actually got a couple of things in the newspaper, but I just wanted to point out to you, Mike,
yes,
that when Letterman had his heart situation,
mm-hmm,
you and I made a bet. A $50 dreidel bet.
You and I made a bet?
Yes, we did.
I know not this bet of what you say.
And I bet you that Letterman would be back to work in 1 month, and the day that I predicted was he'd be back by February 14th.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
And here it says in the TV column of the Washington Post,
yes,
looks like Jay Leno isn't going to get that free ride during the sweeps. A well-informed source tells the TV column that David Letterman could be back behind the desk of his CBS show as soon as Valentine's Day,
which is February 14th.
That's right. And then in USA Today,
it's in all the papers.
I go here, says, Dave visits the office.
Mm-hmm. That's the one thing, you know, the saying he could be back by February 14th, that doesn't disturb me nearly as much as the fact that he came to the office.
Yes, he did.
One associate predicted...
Why just chill out?
He could die. One associate predicted that Dave will return on February 14th.
He drove himself to the office, and then he took off for a vacation. He'll be back in a week, and he's already asked his doctor when he can start running for exercise again.
And did you also read that he's grown a beard?
Full beard.
I've got to think that... Did you see Tom Hanks doing any PR before the holidays?
Yeah, when he had that Grizzly Adams beard?
Tom Hanks is in this movie called The Castaways or something, so he had to grow this awful ratty beard. Mm-hmm. I imagine that Letterman has the same type of shaggy dog beard.
Yeah. Hey, nice to see you. How you doing? Here's my beard.
Yeah.
What do you think? You like the whiskers?
Yeah. Back on Valentine's Day.
I'm loopy for the lack of razors.
Yeah. Bringing my $50.
February 14th. I know. Hey, but you're always concerned about jinxing things.
I feel good about this.
I know. You always feel good about your bets.
When I'm winning.
You feel good about your bets right up until,
until I lose.
But I'll tell you, I told you this. If I lose this bet, from now on, from this point forward, although I will continue to wager, I will be very careful about the wages I make with you, because this will be, I believe, 0-3 this year.
I'm on a good streak with you.
Yeah, very much so.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike. Am I caller 100?
Yes, you sure are. What is your name?
My name's George.
George, where are you calling from?
Oxon Hill, Maryland.
Beautiful. George, caller 100. And you have won the Playboy prize pack. Call 1-800-500-8800 to order a subscription to Playboy magazine.
Thank you.
Or girls take their clothes off.
Right.
George, what do you do, sir?
I'm one of the proud 4%.
Unemployed?
Yeah, unemployed.
What's the last job you held?
Last job I held?
Please don't answer a question with a question.
Take your time. Last job you held?
I did piano repair.
You did piano repair. What did you accidentally drop a piano out of a building that fell on somebody's head?
Yeah, that's like it. Yeah.
Sounds like the Three Stooges. Yes, the great Three Stooges were the piano movers.
Oh, fantastic!
I love it whenever they move stuff. I think maybe my favorite one where they move stuff was when they were carrying the ice up the steps.
Oh yeah.
With those big tongs.
It's prime Curly stuff that they were doing.
It's the best.
Yeah.
George, I don't know if you're just trying to play possum here, but I get the feeling that you are not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, and I am going to let you play for $6,000.
Oh!
Are you ready, George?
Yeah, I'm ready.
That's your jackpot, $6,000, if you can correctly identify this secret celebrity who's having a good old-fashioned belly laugh. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Larry Fine.
Oh, like the Three Stooges.
Tribute to the Three Stooges.
Right. Hold on, I have a question for you first, George.
Sure.
When is the last time you won a prize from us?
Last time, it was September.
All right, because Boyhill just put up on my screen that you are what we refer to in the industry as a prize pig.
Oh, PP, prize pig.
Are you a professional contest player?
I wouldn't say that.
Do you win a lot of things from radio stations?
Not really.
How many prizes have you won from radio stations, roughly?
Roughly?
Hold on, this guy won the Secret Sound.
Yeah.
What?
It couldn't have been September, then.
Yes, it was. It was the first one.
How much did you win from us then?
$500.
We should put in the rules that people who have already won money in contests shouldn't be able to call and win money again.
What is the rule?
It's a certain amount of days, right? 30 days?
I don't know what it is. I think I'll just go back and rewrite the rule right now.
It's wonderful.
I don't know. What is the rule? Charlie, come tell me the rule, please.
What do we have to do with this fish? Do we have to throw this fish back?
Haven't we done enough for you to quote Mel Karmazin? What haven't we done for you?
We give.
What's the rule, Charlie?
One winner per household per 30 days.
Okay.
All right.
So gets to play.
I just hate it when regulars call all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You already won your $500.
Have you locked in what he's going to be playing for? I don't think you were 100% sure.
No, I said $6,000.
Okay.
$6,000, that's the figure.
You'll feel awful if he wins it.
I sure will.
I know.
Are you ready, George?
That's the game. That's the chance we have to take.
All right. We wish you awful luck. just bad luck. You should have taken your $500 and just left us alone.
Right, left the town.
Okay, here you go. Good luck. Bad luck. Don't answer till Mike sings like Larry Fine.
Larry Fine. Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
I just wish the guys that win prizes, especially the guy that won money already, Well, just cool it. I mean, you should probably go out and look for a job rather than just try to call radio stations to win money.
Am I here, Mo?
Yes.
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 Just so unfair to all those.
It is.
Who really, you know, try to win these contests and hold jobs and junk.
You got to remember, he thinks about it seriously.
I know he does. That's what worries me.
Yeah.
He's got nothing to do but listen to the radio all day. For $6,000, George, the prize pig. Who is that?
Is it Kate Jackson, the former
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're sorry.
But not really.
No. I mean, no, when Mike said not really, he meant not really, we're sorry.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hold on, please.
And he's got that, yeah, and then you realize that he's just a scammer, you know, prize guy.
You're going to go right down the dial to Q107 to try to call their contest.
Hey, I'm coming for the car.
Oh, listen, about radio. I got a quick bit about radio and more specifically the coverage of radio.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Amen. I'm so glad you're going to bring this up.
Two things I want to bring up about the Washington Post. And I know we bitch about the Washington Post all the time, but just hear me out on this. I have three very quick points that I want to make.
Good. Make them away.
All right. Here's the first point. Actually, this is the point that will have like an A, a B, and a C.
Very good.
The first point is that we've been doing a show here in this town for 15 years.
And we've been kicking ass for 15 years.
Right. And this is an avant-garde radio show.
Mm-hmm.
We are the only personality talk radio show in any market in America that is number one in its time slot. And I'm not talking about number one in a certain demographic or not.
Right.
Number one in, you know, one-armed guys who have one nut. I'm talking about in the overall ratings.
Right.
We're number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't make a big deal about it on the radio because we don't want to bore you with it. But frankly, in the industry, it's unheard of.
Absolutely.
For a show like this to beat all the other radio stations in Washington, D.C., which is the seventh largest market in America, and we don't get dick coverage.
No, we don't.
Not in this town. We do stuff all the time on this show that we consider to be different.
Sure.
At least we try to do new stuff on this show.
Amusing stuff, interesting stuff, stuff that you would not hear about on any other radio show.
And we don't get any coverage for that. But we know, you know, listen, the Post hates us.
Sure.
We've dealt with that for years. If anything, the Washington Post, when they do write about us, they do write that they're sure that any day now our success is going to end.
Oh, they've done that for, I think they started writing that about 10 years ago.
When they write about us, they write stuff like soda water that's lost its fizzle,
mm-hmm.
Don and Mike show on the last legs, Don and Mike show old, tired, predictable.
Right.
Don and Mike show, how does it stay on the air?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and meanwhile, this just pisses me off, that there's a disc jockey in town, some local disc jockey, who... let me give you background. When you're doing a radio show in a market and nobody's listening to your show,
mm-hmm.
you have to do something to get attention.
Right.
So what you do is the program director and the general manager get together with the disc jockey and they say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to suspend you.
Sure.
We're going to suspend you for one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to leak it to the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to let you back on the radio the next day, and we're going to leak that to the newspaper, too.
It'll be great press.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about this that pisses me off is that the Post buys right into this.
Oh, they just lap it up with a big spoon.
That there's they wrote about two disc jockeys today in the reliable source, which is the gossip column for the Post. They write about one disc jockey who got suspended, which is a load of bullcrap.
Right.
That's a publicity stunt. And then they write about another disc jockey who lost a bet. This disc jockey lost a bet on the New Hampshire primary, and by losing the bet, this guy had to get his hair permed and had to stand on the side of a road. Now, I only bring this up because just last fall, I had a bet with Charlie Stossel on this show where I got my goddamn head shaved.
Yes, completely. All of your hair removed.
Completely shaved.
Right.
Just a few months before that, we had a bet where Dennis Murphy, freak of nature,
yes,
had to go to Mike's house.
Right.
We're always doing wacky, crazy bets on this show.
Always, constantly.
And we don't get Jack written about, not to mention the fact that the Post just buys right in to this crap about the disc jockey being suspended.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is, at best, an old-time radio ploy that you use to get people involved in the show. And generally, it's a sign of desperation. It's a sign that, uh-oh, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
This show's not happening.
We better put some kind of buzz out there, no
sure,
pun intended,
right,
to make people think that we're happening.
Right.
So we'll get it in the newspaper that he's suspended, mm-hmm, and then the day that he's off the air, we'll make a big deal about it. Then we'll put him back on because they think they'll get a high tune in.
Mm-hmm.
And while that is just typical radio crap,
sure it is,
the fact that the Post goes with it as the lead item, the lead article in the reliable source, and follows that up,
mm-hmm,
with another disc jockey item about
a
lame,
stupid bet,
tired crap. Okay, so I read that, and I was fuming about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went through the paper, and I got to... Hello, Robbie? You got me the wrong edition. Is this the late edition? The edition that I had at home, right here on page C7.
Yeah?
Let me see your edition, Bo. Do you have the radio listing?
I think so. Hang on.
Why don't you run that in here? I want to show you something in the radio listing.
Okay.
And I know that this is small and petty, but it will amplify my point.
We have always maintained that the Washington Post, you know, does not choose to mention anything regarding
no,
this show, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous.
Right here on page C7 of the Post.
Well, plenty of bad, not good.
They have the radio listing.
Yeah.
In which they list every radio show in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
They list all of the shows on WJFK, 6 a.m. Howard Stern, 11 a.m. G. Gordon Liddy, 7 p.m. Sports Junkies. They list Inus in the Morning, Tony Kornheiser, Diane Rain, G. Gordon Liddy, Rush Limbaugh, Jim Rome, Bernie McCain, Laura Schlesinger, John Thompson, Joe Madison, Chris Kaur, John Arnold, Money Talk, Gabe Merkin, Sports Call, Butch McAdams and the Coaches Show, Dateline Washington, ESPN Radio, Loveline, The World Today, a Jack and Bert morning show. Gary Murphy and Jessica Cash play country music. The 8 a.m. request hour with Bill and Kim on Wash FM. Point is, they mention every show in town. Guess which is the one show,
mm-hmm,
that is not listed, mm-hmm, at 3 p.m.
Right.
Of course, I'll give you the list. 3 p.m. Laura Schlesinger, John Thompson, Joe Madison, Janet Parshall's America. We're the only ones that are left off the list, while every other show from our radio station,
right,
is printed in the listings, mm-hmm, of the radio column of the Post.
No surprise there.
F them. Right? It's a two-pronged thing that I bring to you today. First, the fact that they buy into this crap,
right,
with the disc jockey who's suspended and this other disc jockey that did the bet, and they ignore us, and they ignore what should be a natural story at some point over the last 15 years, especially the last 3 or 4 years.
I agree, and you know what it is. It's been a long time we've dealt with this, but I'll tell you something, that not only now does the pattern continue, but I've noticed the pattern in that style section, which is what they put all the human interest stuff in the Washington Post here in D.C. That's the paper that we live with. The overall deterioration of anything of interest or anything of real, like, national celebrity interest, it just sucks. It's all about what party you went to and what benefit and what rich guy. There have been more news stories about the elite society individuals that decided he was going to walk his dog. And you know something? I got news for you. If I see another story about Marlena Cook,
Marlena,
who I couldn't give a rat's ass about, I mean, who's old news, I'm going to barf. I mean, this thing has just deteriorated to a point where you're trying to get something that might even be slightly interesting, and it's never in there.
And the story of this show, and more specifically, the way that the audience has responded to our show, mm-hmm, with the ratings that they've given us,
right,
which have been acknowledged in our industry,
sure,
in trade publications, in the company, with other radio companies, it's never acknowledged by the Post.
Not at all.
But you know what? That's a separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
How do you possibly explain the fact,
right,
that they list today on half a page,
mm-hmm,
every radio show, classical, pop, and talk? Every radio show in town is listed. The good ones, the bad ones,
right,
the crappy ones. We're not listed.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not listed when all the other shows on the station we work on,
sure,
are listed. Are you telling me that's a coincidence?
No, I don't think so.
And I know we've mentioned this before, and the answer that they give us is they say, well,
sometimes it's in, sometimes it's not. That's what they say to us.
Right. Well, how could it be today, if anybody has page C7 of this morning's Washington Post, how could our show listing not be in there today?
It's ridiculous.
How could that be? You know how that could be? That could be that they sit down and they go, uh-oh, there's Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Take them out.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be. Somebody's making,
sure,
a conscious decision when they're doing that. Somebody's editing that out of there.
It's ridiculous.
It's got to be gratifying to have the number one show in spite of the fact that the Washington Post ignores you, and hopefully people will begin to notice that the Washington Post is ignoring reality throughout its newspaper, including the radio listings.
Well, see, the thing is, though, Buzz, that it's something that's ego-driven,
which is why we don't talk about it a lot.
Right. It's really just getting some acknowledgement
right
in the newspaper that this is the best show in Washington, D.C., the highest-rated show in Washington, D.C., and a show that goes against every radio rule.
Mm-hmm.
There's not another afternoon FM talk show
right.
in the nation that is number one in its market, much less in a top 10 market.
Right.
It's just not done.
Right.
And we never get that. And we never get the crap when we do something interesting on the show.
Mm-hmm.
When we went out to do our thing on King of Queens.
Right.
Not a mention from the Washington Post.
And you know another reason I think this is true? This show is the forbidden fruit. It really is. This is the kind of show, you go to the, you know, the CC society parties, and if you're going to talk about our show, you know, you're going to do it, you know, off to the side, and you're going to say, yeah, I listened to that some year where they did that. And we know everybody's listening to this show. Everybody's listening to this show. This
right.
show's been number one for a long time. But it's not the show that you want to scream from the top of the mountain. It doesn't happen all the time like that, especially when you're trying to kiss ass at you know, at all these social circle things, which is what the Washington Post is all about now. That, at least in this section, in the style section,
right.
that's what it's all about, this newspaper.
But what I'd really like to know is how is it that they list, and I'm going to count them very quickly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21, 22, 24, 26, 28, 30, 32, 34, 36, 38, 40, 42, 44, 46, 48, 50, 52, 51. They list on today's radio schedule 55 different shows.
Mm-hmm.
I just counted them.
Right.
55 different shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yet our show's not listed.
Right.
Can someone from the Washington Post tell me how that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't bother telling me because I already know.
Right.
You guys think that you're putting some kind of a hex on us by not printing it.
Well, your hex hasn't worked. I think we've demonstrated that rather aptly.
Yeah, F you.
Right.
I just want to point this out to show you the Washington Post, for whatever reason, has a grudge against us. They have had it for a long time. And if you want to see proof, just look at that. Look at the collection of radio garbage that they print there.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to be included
right.
with all the radio garbage.
Mm-hmm.
We'd just like to have our show listed in the newspaper on a day when you're going to print 55 different radio listings.
Exactly.
You can't look at that any way except that they're just trying to screw us.
Absolutely.
We're being singled out.
It's ridiculous.
Against the great Washington Post.
Yeah, the Washington, we don't stink. Ours doesn't stink, the Washington Post.
And we're going to get ratings next Tuesday, and I'm positive the ratings will be good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be number one again.
Because they've got some nerd boy, some geek that, you know, is writing about the radio in this town again. They've never had a normal guy write the radio column.
And he'll write a column about the jamming oldies or
sure.
a country radio, and we'll get a paragraph at the very end.
Right.
A paragraph that says, oh, yes, and the Don and Mike show continues to dominate its time slot.
Always. Always has been. And you know something? We know that's the way it is. We know that it's not going to change. But we have the right every now and then to get on here and bitch
sure.
about it a little bit.
Well,
I think
listen,
it's legit.
All of that aside, how about just putting us in the regular listings?
Yeah.
That's like when you,
same thing.
When you go to the other page that has all of the TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Post singles out a show that they don't like and doesn't print the time and station that it's on?
Well, didn't they do anything on us when we went out to Los Angeles and went on the television show King of Queens?
No.
Oh, that's right. They didn't then either.
No. I mean, I'm looking here.
But hey, you know, if we got our hair permed and we took our little Gore for President sign out on the street, they'd write about that.
Or if our boss fake suspended us.
Sure.
Today,
yeah.
They'd bite on that.
Unbelievable.
But why don't you put us in the goddamn listings?
Right.
Why is that? How come just us?
So mm-hmm. childish.
I know it is, Bob. That's why I'm mentioning it
right.
now. Because they certainly can't say, based on this today, that, well, you know what, we don't have room for everybody, and some days you're in and some days you're out.
Right.
Because as I look at this,
it's systematic.
Tell me who else they left out.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what other radio show in Washington, D.C. they left out when they printed 55. And they're not just printing talk radio. Christ, they printed the Bluegrass Hoedown with Lex Davis.
Of course.
They printed contemporary praise on the religious station.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Oh, they can just eat me raw. I mean that. They can just kiss my ass.
Is it garbage? Okay.
There you go.
That's thank you.
Here, here. Good point. Well,
amen.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We will be right back, everybody.
This is the
a change in schedule today. We will have a low-budget Jeopardy for you later in today's show.
All right.
Yay. Because tomorrow, well, Sexpert Laura Korn is coming in.
Looking forward to that.
She's going
to
be apologizing to us on the Fox News Channel tomorrow between noon and 1.
And then she's getting on an airplane from New York flying down here to be on this show.
She's got her new sex book, so if she apologizes on TV, we'll let her in tomorrow. We'll talk sex with Laura Korn. Also tomorrow, Jerry Mathers, Beaver Cleaver.
The Beaver.
On Monday's episode, we'll have the recap of our paintball war.
Yes, and David Hainline's been peppering me with questions in the hallway about how many players we have on our team, how many teams, you know, and I said, I finally stopped him, and I turned around. I said, David, do I, in the whole time you've known me, do I have anything to do with anything that's of an organizational nature on this show? He looked at me and said, I guess there's a bad vibe in the hallways today.
Did he have on his Time Life operator, yes. Handless tent,
yes.
Hand-free headset?
Which rang in the bathroom, which actually, you know, which just delighted him. I mean, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's like the new technology that he's getting a true kick out of, and it rang in the bathroom. He's like, I can answer it in the bathroom.
We will have to do some talking about our paintball team. I want to tell you about some of the wacky members of our paintball team. We'll play paintball this Saturday morning against the sales staff at Pev's Paintball in Woodbridge, Virginia. We'll start playing at 8 a.m.
Good.
Everybody come out and watch, but only if you root for us, the good guys.
Right.
We'll have the recap of that on Monday. We're going to bring a tape recorder and do some play-by-play. Every day next week on the show, we're giving away a free trip to Iceland every day.
Great.
Next Wednesday on the show, Richard Simmons,
yeah,
and a feces doctor.
Oh, yeah, baby.
You might think they're one and the same.
Are they coming on at the same time?
They're going to be back-to-back, Mike.
Back-to-back, so to speak.
Valentine's Day, it's the Dennis Murphy Hot Tub Show.
Good.
And listen, very soon, the return of
Strip Trivia.
Woo-hoo!
For the year 2000.
Right.
So, Jesus, we're jam-packed.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey, buddy. What? Hey, buddy.
Hey, F the Post. I just wanted to remind you.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, really?
F the Post?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the Washington. I was wondering just the other day, what's Donald Reagan doing? You know, boy, that was fascinating. You know, I always wonder about what members of the Reagan cabinet are up to.
Fascinating. Just riveting. I wonder if he's painting pictures.
I wish someone would call the Post and just ask. Just call for the style section and just ask.
Okay, David.
Thank you.
David Hainline just put a note on our window that says you are going down the sales killer. What does that mean? We're going to have oral sex with the sales staff?
David was just explaining to me how he's responsible for so much of the station's revenue, and it's nice to know with that incredible responsibility that he can still take time to doodle on paper.
You are going down the sales killers. Not without a condom, I'm not.
Grammar aside, what do you suppose a handwriting expert would say about that? Rudy Bartsky laughed at that.
I would say someone was dropped when they were an infant.
It looks like someone wrote that with their feet.
He was dropped, but he could still answer the phone.
That one, now that it's attached to his head.
Hey, listen, seriously, about the Post. If someone would call the Post, the style section, just a regular guy listening to the show right now, and just ask, how could it be that today in the style section, you print the radio listings for 55 different radio programs, but you didn't print the Don and Mike show?
Yeah, the number one show.
Good question. I'd like to know the answer to that. If anybody's got the time, I'd call myself. But we'd have to tell them that we're on the air.
Sure.
The whole big run around. It'd be a collective waste of time.
Here, here.
Well, they're picking a feud with you.
No, they're not picking a feud with us. They're it's the same incompetence that they've demonstrated for years.
I just want to remind you, though, they can be some real fiend mucks over there. About a year ago, published on...
Mean F's, Mike. That's what you were saying. I saw Mike actually noodling that one through.
A little late last night.
Right. Fiend muck.
Yeah, late night last night.
Their competition, the Times, last year, they decided to, in the style section, actually publish a two-page article with the names, addresses, and pictures of the houses of the three top people on their editorial staff.
Why did they do that?
I don't know, but I would have found it threatening if they had done something like that to me. Yeah?
Well, you know, Washingtonian Magazine, which I love, I really do. I think Washingtonian Magazine is the best publication in this town, and they have a little section that I love reading called Postwatch, and in it, they will, air the Post's dirty laundry. And I always think that's, there are a lot of times when there's some really good stuff in there, really interesting reading about the all-powerful Washington Post. And anybody that has ever been on the wrong side of the Washington Post will agree that it's nice to see some people, take a look at them for a change.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don Mike, Joe Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I think y'all just...
They're trying to leave you out just so you can free publicity for them.
That's right, because you know what? They're a struggling newspaper, and they certainly don't sell enough copies every day. That's right. It's all a grand plan
absolutely.
To get us to talk about them so that more people will put 35 cents into the box to get the newspaper.
Exactly. I think you owe them the same as Mr. Liddy does. You need to talk to him as the Washington Beat, and then, you know, leave it at that.
Okay, thank you, Cooter.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I haven't talked to you in a long time. And you guys are probably, you know, jumping up and down and clapping your hands that you haven't, but now, you know, you're...
You even know who this is?
I don't know.
What's your first name, sir?
Jake.
Oh, you know Jake. You remember Jake.
Yeah, of course you do. No, you don't remember me.
No, we don't.
I'm a jagoff from Denver. I used to call all the time and bust on the Ralph radio station here.
This is Jake Off.
Come on,
Liddy. What do you want, Jake?
I want you guys to come back to Denver, man.
Oh,
I got a taste of your show for 2 years, and I've been, you know, God, I've been getting bad withdrawal symptoms over the past, oh, I don't know, how long has it been?
Jake, move to where the food is, my friend.
I can't, man. This is my home, man.
Well, then you're not a dedicated listener, Jake.
I am a dedicated listener.
No, you're not, because a dedicated listener would pack up his family, change his job, and move to a city where he knew he could hear the show.
I can't. I'm going to school here on a scholarship.
Okay. You've made your choice.
Why
don't you just put those fake crutches back on and talk in that fake British accent instead of when you're not delivering pizzas?
I keep talking about something about Mary.
Same guy, right here.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, man.
My name's
Norm.
All right, go ahead. What?
I wanted to ask you another question. Aren't you guys on the internet somewhere? I mean, there's probably not a video show on the earth that isn't.
And I have news for you that there are many shows that are not on the internet.
Many
all of them.
You guys are the only
Hold on.
On the internet.
Hold on, listen, Jake. On.
Okay.
No show that is owned by CBS Radio is available on the internet.
That sucks.
Right.
You guys should go to another network or something.
Gee, I'll write that down right after I write down how we are playing right into the Washington Post's hands. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Hey, nice. Bye-bye.
Let's think he's a good listener.
Confused.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
You know, we're number one up here in Washington, right? I'm from Stockton, though. You're number one in Washington. You know, a little pencil neck sitting in the back with a little pencil that crosses your name off of the little schedule there. It says 3 o'clock till 7.
Right.
Well, you know, if we all called up, if everyone called up, canceled the post, and they had no more money, a little pencil neck, they just fired him. It's all about money.
So another person, we can file
another
this.
Great idea.
We can file this.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm sure that we'll put the post out of business.
Sir. Get him
there
fired.
There you go.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for the support. Hello, Don. It's Mike's show.
Hi, what station are they on in Boston?
We've had three great suggestions thus far.
We have, and now a great question.
I don't know. Outside Boston.
Worcester.
Worcester or Webster.
And also in Portland, Maine.
What's the station there?
Listen, I don't know. Does the radio have a dial? Well, what do I look like? The Yellow Pages?
Yeah, come on. I'm from the West Coast, man. I live in right across the bridge from Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
I'm here visiting.
There's something on your radio called scan.
A dial, yeah.
Push the scan button. Eventually you'll hear...
Over at the Post.
Oh, did you really?
Yes. And before I could even get my question out, the little fellow over there said... I said, I was reading your paper today, and there was no mention of Don and Mike in your radio listens. Before I could even say Don and Mike, he said, oh, Don and Mike? And he proceeded to tell me that you were cut out at the end, the very end of the print. They couldn't include you. There were just too many. So then I asked him, well, how could you include the radio listing for the religious channel, but most popular radio show in Baltimore and D.C. couldn't be included, and he did not have an answer for me.
Interesting.
All right, thank you, my friend.
I guess they're getting a few calls over there.
Thank you.
It's nice every now and then just to remind them, you know, that you know, we're here.
Start up. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Please, you guys have got to get on the internet.
It's not our choice for the 1,000,000th time.
I know, but man, you got to do something. I mean, if you do it illegally, please, man, just get on the internet.
Okay, I think it's time for us to tell everybody what our divine plan is here. Don and I are starting our own company. You know, every day there's new one of those companies for the internet. Don and I are starting a brand new company, Wipers.com. And you're going to see that real soon. We're not going to tell you what we're selling, but it's going to be big.
Seriously.
Honey.com. Well, listen, you're not taking our position seriously. It's not our decision to make.
Well, you got to do something, man.
Like
it's getting down on your knees every night and praying, man. That's what I do.
You pray?
Get on the internet.
Do you pray that we are on the internet?
Yes, because then I can hear your show. I haven't heard in like 8 months, man.
That's another man guy.
All right, man.
His name's Norm.
Tell us Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Hey, Bobby.
First of all, the guy who writes the Washington Post radio column,
yes,
he has a online chat every Tuesday afternoon, and I read the transcripts of it.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because your fan to get on those chat and they're always mentioning your name. And they always try to tiptoe around it.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
And one more thing, Don. Congratulations. Last night, big announcement in Baltimore. Number one in afternoon drive. Did this mean we can finally get you an FM now? Because a long time ago.
No. There's no way that our show will ever be moved to FM in Baltimore. Simply because the reason being, and we did announce this last night, mm-hmm, that our show is number one in Baltimore.
That's
also
right. Absolutely.
We're very happy about that. But because the show has gone to such a high level on this crappy AM station,
mm-hmm,
why should the company move it to FM?
No, they got a good thing going, and they don't fix stuff that's not broken.
Right. Thank you, my friend. Actually, somebody a couple of weeks ago faxed us a copy of one of those transcripts, mm-hmm, from the online chat with the radio guy from the Post.
Mm-hmm. He deals with fans of the show constantly.
Yeah, and it was real interesting. It's obvious that it's not a real-time post, meaning that if you type in something to this guy, it doesn't immediately show up on the screen.
Right.
They have someone who reads it,
right,
decides if they want to put it on their website, mm-hmm, and then this guy answers. Well, I guess he had been getting flooded, mm-hmm, with stuff about our show.
Right.
So he finally put something on, and it was from somebody who said, hey, I used to listen to Don and Mike every day, but now they're getting old and boring, and I just find myself changing the station. That's what he put in.
Sure, of course.
And his answer was, if anybody has a transcript of this, and we just got this back too.
Yeah, because it's all edited, so he selects what he wants to select.
And his answer was something like, well-deserved criticism from a former longtime listener. Thanks for the input.
Yeah, of course, because he hates us.
Right.
For what reason, we do not know. We've never met the guy. And I don't know if this guy, Lloyd Grove, that writes the Reliable Source column, I don't know if he's got a similar opportunity for people to interact with him, but I think this is another guy that, deserves a little reminder that we're out here.
Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike and Buzz.
Hi, baby.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, baby.
Yeah, I just talked to a gentleman over at, I use the term loosely, over at the Washington Post, the style section.
Yeah.
And asked him why he listed 55 shows and left out the number one Arbitron rated and the highest group of demographics in the country in this drive that gives their paper so much advertising space, it's ridiculous how they could forget to mention you.
And what did he say?
He gave me the same lame excuse that he gave the other caller, and he said, did Don and Mike tell you guys to call? I said, it's just funny that they're not in there. Never mind who said to call.
No, that's the point is not that we asked people to call. The
right.
point is to alert the Washington Post to let them know that we know.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we do a show regardless if they like it or not.
Yeah.
And if they want to acknowledge the success of the show or not, that's their business. But if they're going to print a listing of every goddamn radio show in town,
right,
then I think we have every right to scream and say, print our show in there, too.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, if you're going to print this, what if that was the hoedown?
Bluegrass hoedown?
The bluegrass hoedown.
I love the bluegrass hoedown.
All right, thank you. Hold on. Here's another girl just called the Post. Hello, Kim.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I just wanted to let you know, I did what you said, and I called up the Post and asked for the style section, and I got four different people, and they all said, as soon as I said, I was looking at the style section and reading DC Radio, and as soon as I said DC Radio, they went, hold, please, and slammed me on hold. And the next time I called back, I said, look, I'm on a cell phone, don't put me on hold, I need to ask somebody a question. And the guy's name was Woody, he was real nice, he said, okay, ma'am, what can I help you with? And I said, I was reading the style section, and I said the same thing. He goes, hold, please, didn't even give me a chance to get it out.
Good.
They're being really ticked off, and quite frankly, screw the Post. I called back and I canceled my subscription.
Well, thank you, but that's like a flea on a giant
bat. Sure,
but
I appreciate
that.
I
love you guys. I've been listening to you guys for too long. So.
Well, love you. Thank you.
Very nice.
Bye bye. Goodbye, Kim. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, is this Mr. Birdseed calling from Sponge Cake, Maryland? I was driving my Mercedes to the gynecologist, and I hit an amber slam. Thank you for your service to our
country. Oh, you know what? I gotta get this tape of Liddy today.
Oh, really? Was he having a good day?
I was listening to G-Gore and Liddy talk about ABBA.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's another one of the
group ABBA.
Another one of the many things that G-Gore and Liddy and I have in common.
Mm-hmm.
actually probably the only thing that we have in common is the fact that we both love the group ABBA.
Your love of ABBA.
Mm-hmm. And he was reading the story, I'm sure Buzz will have it in the news today, about how ABBA's been offered $1 billion to come back and reform and do some kind of a tour, and they turned it down.
$1 billion?
Yes,
billion.
With a B.
Wow.
$1,000 million. $1 billion.
The way he says that. Yeah. Okay.
So he was starting to play some ABBA records, which when he does, I love it. Because it drives, you know, Jeremy crazy. Jeremy doesn't think he should be playing records on his show.
Group ABBA.
And the quote from Liddy was, "When I listen to ABBA, I get an erection."
That's great.
We've got to get John Bob to pull that tape for us.
That's
when I listen to ABBA, I get an erection.
Way to go, G-Man.
Hello. Hello, Larry.
Yeah, hi, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Mike. It just sounded interesting that they took you guys out at the 3 o'clock, but at noon on WMDO-AM, they have La Voz del Pueblo, which is news from Latin America, interviews and open phones. That's a Spanish-speaking station. Anybody who's Spanish-speaking cannot read the Post because it's English. I don't understand that.
You know, that's an interesting point of view.
Excellent point. Thank you, my friend.
Corey, you know, he is completely eliminating the people who could perhaps read both.
Yeah. Well, that's impossible, Mike. It's one or the other. One or the other.
Either one side or the other.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
When is Rockhead's last day?
Friday, next Friday. Why?
Next, that guy, you know, it's something, just trying to get through to that man. The typical conversation at the Rockhead home. See if you can get this. What's this?
That's my skull. I'm so wasted.
All right.
Mookie!
All right, everybody loves piling on Rockhead.
Yes, it's unfair.
We just have a few more days. Next Friday, he'll be out of our lives.
Totally unfair.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Caesar, I just wanted to say that I hate the Post and I love macaroni and cheese.
Is that the Susan Jizz guy?
Yes, he didn't mention his brother Jizz.
Someone should tell him that. He's not a welcome caller.
Not at all.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Bobby.
Her derriere was solicitous, and her pudendum was delicious.
Thank you.
All right, get up the dictionary, Buzz. We'll figure that out.
I'm sure that was something really dirty.
Pretty nasty. I think it had something to do with a bad
place.
Can
you hold my thing while I ejaculate?
Okay. Are you done?
Please hold for ejaculation.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello. Hard to believe the Post won't list this show, huh? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air. Please turn your radio down. Or just hang the phone up.
There you go. Very nice.
Whichever. Either one is okay with me.
Yes, oh, you know what? They come in clumps.
I got something for you about Kathy C. Gifford here.
Oh, good.
You're going to love this. About Kathy C. and Cody.
Oh, dear. What are they? Is this about their movie?
Yeah, and it's about how she's raising him, and the only reason I hesitate to bring this up is that it's not totally a slam on Kathy Lee. It's also a slam on Cody.
Really?
And
slamming Cody now?
Well, with his behavior.
Ah,
his behavior in some public place.
I will tell you, no matter what he does, he should accept none of the responsibility.
Because it's not his fault that Kathy Lee Gifford is his mother.
Right.
How old is he now? Do we know?
He is 12.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
He is 12.
Yes, entering the danger zone.
Yes. So the story is about how Kathy Lee has this TV movie in which she supposedly twisted Cody's arm to get him to star in the TV movie.
Right.
And she plays a wicked stepmother in this movie, and he plays a boy model.
Okay.
He plays like a guy who's an NSYNC or something.
Oh, no. Here I'm going to puke already.
So the story goes on to describe the entire process of making the movie and what a little jerk Cody was while they were making this TV movie.
Mm.
Then they go on, and this is where we're going to follow up because we have phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They go on to describe an incident where Cody threw a temper tantrum at a Sam Goody store.
Okay.
He was at Sam Goody's with his nanny, and he wanted Britney Spears' latest album, but the store was sold out. He started yelling, screaming, and crying. The nanny had to calm him down and reassure him that they would get the Britney Spears record as soon as they could.
We want it now!
Right. Then there was the nightmare of the restaurant.
Uh-oh.
Of which we have the telephone number also.
Fantastic.
Cody ordered ravioli, tried it, refused to eat it, and pushed the plate away, demanding something else. Kathy Lee returned it, then ordered fried
calamari.
Yeah, this is a bad copy. Calamari for him. Cody took two bites, spit it out, and yelled, "This tastes terrible." Kathy Lee called the waitress over and returned that too. They think because they have money, they have special privileges. This includes a special school for Cody, the private, I won't name the school, $10,000 a year. His nanny dresses him every morning, drives him to school every morning, and picks him up right after the last class. Cody loves to be the center of attention. Let me see. We have the... Who's the... What's this one, Robbie? I see we have the Sam Goody in the restaurant. Who's this?
Yeah, he also was misbehaving in this clothing store.
Oh, where's that? Show me, where's that in the article? He's misbehaving in a clothing store.
He had a tantrum in a clothing store, too.
Okay, hold on.
Cody was.
Okay. Cody was in an exclusive children's clothing store with his mom and was very angry about what he wanted to try on. As he was waiting for her to pay, he began to draw on a pair of pants with a marker. Kathy Lee simply shrugged off the incident, telling the sales girl to include the pants in the order. Well, now that doesn't sound so awful to me.
No, and you know, that's something that they might actually embellish a little bit, but were they pants that he were just hanging on a rack?
Apparently so, and he's 12. I mean, doesn't that sound a little more like a 5-year-old's behavior?
Right.
I mean, to not have the control to not draw on a pair of pants?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I agree. Yeah, 12-year-old drawing on a pair of pants with a magic marker.
I mean, even if it was like 10, that's questionable at best.
And I think that maybe even the thing with having the fit about not getting the Britney Spears record.
It depends on the extent of the fit.
Yeah, and all kids have their days.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think we should probably start by calling the restaurant where Cody refused to eat the food.
You know, after you're, you know, if you send something back, it's got to be bad. You know what I mean? I mean, to be honest with you, if the food is normal and your kid orders the food and they make the decision and they don't eat it, that's, you know, what parent hasn't had a kid that didn't eat?
Right.
If sending, you know, two entrees back, Jesus.
If you don't like it, you can send it back. So he sent back ravioli, then the calamari, for two bites, spit it out on the table, and then screech.
Good evening.
Yes, hello, Da Vinci's.
Yes.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show, and we're on the air right now. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Great. Listen, we're calling about Cody Gifford spitting out his food at your restaurant when he didn't like the ravioli and he didn't like the calamari.
Is that true? Is there anyone that could help us with this? We want to find out if this is a true story or not.
I have no idea. I've never heard of that.
Have you heard of Cody and Kathy Lee coming into your restaurant?
No, I don't know. It must have been a long time ago.
Is there anyone there who might know? Could we speak to a manager?
No, sorry, there isn't a manager at the moment.
Would there be any waiter, waitress, somebody that might have been there for a long time that might have...
Oh, right now I'm the only one, so...
Oh, you're the only one. Person? There's
yeah.
no one in the back by the kitchen area? There's no bus boy?
Right, yeah, this is my, you know, dinner hasn't started yet, nobody's here.
Do you have famous people come into your restaurant a lot?
Once in a while.
You mean you're the only person in the entire restaurant?
Oh, well, they're the cooks, but they don't...
May I talk to a cook, please?
I'm sorry?
May I please talk to a cook?
They wouldn't know.
Is there a bartender, anybody like that around, or, you know?
Hold on.
Thank you. Well, now, how would she know that the cook
wouldn't
know?
Yeah, I hate it when somebody tries to put a roadblock, you know, just, you know, say, I don't know anything, let me see if somebody does.
Right. And, of course, she's not the only person there.
It's almost 5 o'clock.
Right, exactly.
I mean, even if the restaurant doesn't open until 6 or 7.
Sure.
There's got to be people there.
Thank you, Mike, Beachside. You know, that's going to be the next show. Yes, may I help you?
Well, she's going back and telling everybody. Oh, this jockey's on the phone that wanted to know about the time that Cody Gifford spit out his food on the table.
You know, we talked to years and years ago with a similar kind of call. Remember when we called Emeril Lagasse? We got him on the phone way back before he was
famous.
Before he was world famous, and it was a story about what Rosie O'Donnell had eaten. And Emeril got on the line.
He was fantastic.
He was fantastic. He said, "Yeah, she did. She ate this. She ate this. She ate this."
Told her she ate like a pig.
It was great.
I think we even asked him, "Did she leave a good tip?" And she said,
right.
"He said not really."
And look where Emeril is now. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Huh?
Didn't hurt.
Huh?
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay.
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now.
How are you today?
Oh, great.
Very nice. We're calling to find out about Cody Gifford in your restaurant ordering ravioli and then ordering calamari and spitting the food out because he didn't like it.
I don't remember that ever happening.
Really?
He was just a tiny little baby when he first came in with his nanny and his mom.
Okay.
So, but you've been there so you've been at the restaurant a while, and you were there...
34 years.
And you were there when the Giffords came in, then.
And they came quite regularly.
We're just reading an article about Cody right now. The headline says, Kathy Lee has turned poor Cody into a monster. That's the headline.
And we just, you know, calling to follow up on some of these stories that are in the tabloid.
It says that he had a fit in a Sam Goody because he couldn't get a record he wanted, and that he had a fit in a clothing store, and that he was spitting out food in your restaurant.
But no, I don't think so. I think he's just like a normal. At the time, whenever he did that, he was just like my little grandson. I don't think it's anything exciting for anybody to read. I mean, just a normal 2-year-old.
So he was a 2-year-old?
So he did that when he was 2?
He was just a little baby.
When he spit out the food?
I don't know that he's not going to spit it out. He's just being, the terrible twos.
Oh, but he was 2.
Probably.
Why aren't you giving him calamari if he's 2?
Yeah. Did you give him?
I don't know about the calamari. I don't know.
Oh, really?
All right.
So that was years and years and years ago.
Was years and years ago.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. That's cool. That's all it takes.
Okay.
It kind of gives you a window into the tabloids there, you know.
Sam Goody.
Now, the way that was written, could they have written that without, like, putting his age there? And, you could write about a baby spitting out his food.
All right, but listen, the thing about Britney Spears,
right,
that has to be closed because Britney Spears has only been popular the last year.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Sam Goody, where you can reserve Star Wars. How can I help you?
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now.
How are you?
Good.
Hi, we're calling to find out about Cody Gifford in your store having a hissy fit because you were sold out of a Britney Spears record.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a news story out about Cody Gifford that they pitched a fit because you had run out of a Britney Spears record, and he kind of made a little scene in the store.
The story says Kathy Lee is turning poor Cody into a monster. Then it says he was at Sam Goody at your store with his nanny, wanted Britney Spears' latest CD, and the store was sold out. He started crying, screaming, and yelling. The nanny had to calm him down and reassure him that they would get him the record as soon as they could.
Do you ever hear anything about that?
Hello?
No, sir, I haven't, and I can definitely verify that we haven't been sold out of Britney Spears for a long time.
Really?
Mm.
And so we
are fully stocked at all times.
Would there be anybody, are you like a manager there?
One of them, yes.
Would there be anybody else that might have been aware of Cody being in the store at all?
No,
I mean, you're not even aware of Cody being in the store.
No one to my knowledge, and
all right.
Would help every person that does come into the store.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. All right. Okay. So try a little more suspect, in my opinion.
Try the clothing store.
Yeah, you have a response?
Yeah, we have never been sold out of any record in the history of my association with the Sam Goody Company. If you require anything, our greatest sales assistant will be happy to help you.
All right, then let's try the clothing store where he drew on the pants.
One month a week.
Yes, hello, this is the Don and Mike radio show, and we are on the radio right now.
How are you?
Hi.
Listen, we're calling about Cody Gifford, who we understand is a customer in your store.
I don't know.
You know Kathy Lee's kid?
Uh-huh.
Right. There's a story in a magazine I'm reading right now, and the headline says, Kathy Lee has turned poor Cody into a monster.
Okay.
And it goes on to say that Cody was in an exclusive children's clothing store.
Right.
And the name of your store.
Right.
With his mom, very particular about what he wanted to try on, and as he was waiting for her to pay,
mm-hmm.
he began to draw on a pair of pants with a magic marker. Kathy Lee simply shrugged off the incident, telling the sales girl to include the pants in the order. We're wondering if that ever happened.
Anybody, if you don't know, would there be anybody there that might have remembered Cody coming into the store with mom?
I'll ask.
Okay.
Hold on.
Thank you.
No, we don't think so.
Well, he didn't write it, but was he in the store at least? Can you ask if he was in the store?
Was he ever in the store when you were here?
We don't know. Not when we were here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right. Okay, I think one thing's become very clear. Cover-up.
Yeah.
It's a vast conspiracy.
It must be. I think so. Well, that's the story about Cody and Kathy Lee. We actually tried to follow up on the stuff we read in the tabloid.
I think it's just my hunch that there will be many more opportunities to check on the behavior of one Cody Gifford.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's going to, at some point,
sure,
the rebellion will happen if it hasn't already started to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hi, this is Regis Philbin. Kathy won't be on the show today.
Hey, Mom. This is Cody Gifford. I want to tell you something. My mother is tied to a chair right now in my kitchen, and I'm not letting her out. blasted all the TV trucks out on the lawn.
This is Cody Gifford.
Back off or I'll kill the bitch.
Yeah, they have the... we're here outside the Gifford Mansion. Cody's holding his mother and they've got them all there. I want a camera crew.
I can't take it anymore, Mom. She gives me baths all the time. She makes me wear shoes with buckles on them, Mom.
I'm 16 and she's still making me wear short pants.
I have to wear diapers, Mom. I'm not allowed to watch anything except Nickelodeon, so my mom is tied to a chair in the kitchen right now.
And then, of course, the Cody Gifford story. On a miniseries, you know, on a TV movie of the week.
Cody? Cody, it's Dad. It's
my Dad. Dad, I'm not letting her go.
Cody, I can understand. I wanted to tie the bitch up many times.
Dad, I wish you wouldn't call me from the nursing home.
Cody?
What?
Cody, please let your mother go.
No.
Cody?
No.
Cody?
God, where were you? You were always out, like in a hotel room with some other chick when I needed your love and affection, when she was just being the overbearing parent.
Cody, where did you find that Playboy?
In your closet, Dad. The stacks of Playboys and Penthouse and Hustler and Swank.
Dad, you didn't find my Wii.
No, but I found your whole subscription to Club. Thanks, Daddy.
Let Mama go.
No.
Let her go. It's me, Gif.
Cassidy's upstairs listening to Janis Joplin records.
And Cassidy looks like Tony Soprano's sister.
She grows up.
Right. Ma, look at me, Ma. You don't control me anymore, Ma.
And Mom's going,
oh, beautiful.
Oh, man.
Cody's revenge.
Yeah, it's just starting. Just, you know, seems like it was only yesterday he was just a toddler. I mean, grow up so fast.
Poor kid. Coach Happy Touchstone's right there. Time for caller 100.
Oh, this will give you an erection.
Abba gives me an erection.
Oh, God.
There you go. Time for caller 100. Not only do you get an erection, I'll give you the chance to win it for $10,000, okay? With a secret celebrity laugh. Abba gives me an erection.
Oh, God.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, Gordon. Be the 100th caller right now on our toll-free line to get a shot to win the free money at 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Like a daily 4-hour hot Carl. The Don and Mike Show.
Ah, nice old hot Carl.
Oh, boy, on a cold day, a hot Carl.
Caller 100 times right now. Oh, speaking of cold day,
yes,
I just want to make a prediction.
I like this.
Right here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area.
All right.
And I'll keep this brief because it's not of interest to anybody listening anywhere but here.
Right.
They are predicting a dusting of snow tonight. I said to Mike about an hour and a half ago, before I asked Buzz what the new forecast was, I think we're going to get at least 2 inches of snow tonight.
Yeah, because they're looking at it so much. It's that same pattern where they don't know what's happening.
I just got a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I got a feeling. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and have at least 2 inches of snow. 2 inches of unpredicted snow.
Absolutely.
What is the latest forecast, Buzz?
The forecasting is snow showers late this evening, and then at midnight, turning into snow flurries with an accumulation of less than an inch. That's the official forecast.
Because they've already started to jazz it up from just flurries with a dusting.
Yeah, and you should realize that they just don't have a clue when they're talking about accumulations or amounts, so yeah. You never know.
But I don't mind. Who cares if I'm wrong? But I bet I'm right. I bet we wake up tomorrow, we have 2 inches of snow.
And I bet you're wrong, and by doing that, I guarantee that you'll get 2 inches of snow.
Thanks, Mike. Caller 100 time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, am I caller 100?
Yes, you sure are. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Russ.
Russ, where are you calling from?
Out here in Modesto.
Modesto, you must be listening on KHTK in Sacramento.
That's the one.
Beautiful. You want a Playboy prize pack? Please call 1-800-500-8800 to order a subscription to Playboy magazine where girls get naked. Mm. Now, have you heard the secret celebrity laugh?
Yes, I have.
You have an idea already of who you think it might be?
Not really. Every time I hear it, I think of somebody else.
Mm. Okay. What do you do for a living?
I'm in sales.
What do you sell?
Commercial alarm systems.
Okay. Commercial alarm systems. That means you must be at least moderately educated. I mean, you got to be kind of slick to go in and sell a product like that.
You got to know your stuff. You got to be smart enough to know a sophisticated product like an alarm system, right?
I am.
You get lucky sometimes.
Sound like Homo Joe there, but that's
hold on, what, Robbie?
It's called the weather, the WE6 number. They say a dusting with a chance of 1 to 2 inches.
There you go.
What did I tell you?
So, do you want to up your forecast, or do you want to keep it at 2 inches?
No, that was my gut feeling.
How many inches
today? 2 inches of snow.
2 inches.
I'll stick with 2 inches.
Okay, I'll keep you posted.
Those sons of bitches. I tell you, if I'm right, I should go on the next plane to Vegas.
Absolutely.
You'll start playing hunches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to go just $2,000 with you.
Okay, that's more than enough. That's fair. Thanks.
Rather than shooting a whole wad, because frankly, I think there's a chance you may know this. And I'll get in trouble if we give away another $10,000 right away.
Mm-hmm.
So you will play for $2,000. Good luck. Please don't answer until Mike sings like Hank Hill or...
Robert Goulet.
Oh, Goulet. All right, Goulet time.
Thank you.
And we wish you
Godspeed. Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There is the secret celebrity laugh. Now, the jackpot is always at least $500,
right?
As much as $10,000. We have given away $10,000, and you will play for $2,000.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes, 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 yes. That will give me an erection. There you go. Looky, it's Robert Goulet.
That'll be enough of that ass.
For $2,000. Hey, Rob, get that tape out.
Yes, please.
For $2,000, who is that secret celebrity who just laughed?
Well, is it Carrot Top?
No. Sorry.
Oh, we're sorry.
Nope, absolutely not. Thank you for listening, though. No one has guessed. Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
Carrot, he's marvelous. He comes out every year. He's fantastic.
Funny.
Please welcome
Carrot Top.
Thank you, my friend. And don't forget that every guest is a clue for you.
No.
All right, here's Elvis listening to Robert Goulet sing The Odds Are in My Favor when he shoots the TV out.
Okay, what else is on here, man? What else is on?
Actually,
hey, Lucy, it's Robert Goulet.
That'll be enough of that.
Then I go, my boy, my boy. Great Elvis moment.
You know, if I could transport myself into the life of Elvis Presley and be in that room, that would have been the one Elvis moment I would have loved to share. I mean, I think they do it justice if it happened that way.
Hey, look, E. It's Robert Goulet.
He's got a big, like, cannon of a gun. Shoots the TV out.
That'll be it over that ass. Hey, let me call as the lead witness, Charles Broyhill.
All right.
The absentee producer of this show, The Don and Mike Show.
Is he eating chicken?
He has an update for us. About the Washington Post style section, called him.
Very good.
So listen to this load of crap.
They called wanting to know if we could say something to get people to stop calling because they've been inundated with calls.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was an oversight. It won't happen again. We've taken steps to correct it.
It's an oversight when you list 55 different shows, and we're the only show that's left out. That's not an oversight.
I want to give our listeners a round of applause.
Fantastic.
You know, one of the shows they list, Liddy's show, he won't even mention them by name.
Right. Yeah, Mr. Liddy hates the Washington Post, although Alba gives him an erection.
Yeah.
Alba gives me an erection.
Oh, God.
There you go. So the guy from the Post goes, so what they say? Pick up the phone, you're going, Charlie Broyhill here.
Yeah, and he said that they'd have been inundated with calls of people complaining, wanting to know why the Don and Mike show was omitted from their list. And then he said, is there any chance Don and Mike could say something nice to get people to stop?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I really doubt it. Click.
He didn't
even let me finish the rest of my statement.
Yeah, what the Post. Yeah.
That's the attitude of the Post.
Yeah. What would the rest of your statement
have
been?
Well, I was going to say that the Post only writes bad things about Don and Mike when they write something.
Absolutely.
Why would Don and Mike want to say anything nice about the Post?
Amen. Yeah.
Well, keep calling them, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's nice. Please call
remember,
them.
They hung up on our producer. You know, maybe we would have low-keyed it if they didn't hang up on our producer.
That's right.
Christ.
Idiot pricks.
Hate those guys.
Swear to God.
Arrogance.
Pompous pricks.
Mm-hmm.
It was an oversight. Something will never happen again. Excuse me. Is there a chance that they could say something nice?
Yeah. Yeah, I wipe my ass with the Washington Post.
How do you like that?
Butt buddies with Frank Ahern.
There's something nice.
Wow.
Leonard Shapiro's a load.
There you go. Okay.
I'm running out of nice stuff to say about the Washington Post.
Oh, boy. I just can't seem to find anything nice right now. I really can't.
Do you believe that? And that's the pompous attitude of that newspaper.
Oh, sure.
Think of the pompacity that it takes to have a style editor from the Post. You know what we'll do? We'll just call the producer of that show.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, we didn't really put out a frontal assault.
No.
Giving out the phone number or
reading.
Mobilizing the troops.
You have to go back and listen to the tape and hear the way you said it. And
right.
You know, and somebody would, that's the way you said it. Somebody would
if
call.
One regular guy would just call the style sergeant and ask him, how come we're not listed?
We wanted to find out why, and we wanted one of our listeners, because, you know, if we called, we wouldn't, get anywhere.
So they get a ton of calls, and then imagine, Christ, what pricks they are. They call here and ask us to say something nice about the Post.
Right, exactly.
Really?
Screw them.
Well, how about you guys say something nice about us first? Because it would be the first time you ever have.
Yeah, and not even us. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be personal. Write something about the success of this show. That's all. Write the facts. Write the facts. The truisms that have lasted for 15 years in this city. That's all. That's all we'd like. A fair shake. You write about all the other radio shows, and you give them a fair shake. Give us a fair shake.
And at the very least, if you're going to print a list of 55 shows, put our names in there. And please, don't insult our intelligence by telling us it's an oversight.
Right.
It's anything but an oversight. It's so obvious.
Absolutely.
Really? I mean, how can they say it's an oversight?
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious.
Yeah, man. It is.
F the Post.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway.
Bully.
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 Let me see you calling. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, what's the number for the Post and column?
No, see, we do that. And
I don't know.
That's, we didn't need to do that. Right. They were inundated without us giving out the number.
Oh, I know, but I'm in North Carolina, and I want to call, too.
And well, we can't do that.
Appreciate it, but that's not how we operate.
I understand.
It's much better that we just threw it out there.
Right.
And they had so many people call them that they had the balls to call here.
Right.
And ask us to say something nice about
them. Here.
Right.
Imagine that. Sure. Hey, we'd be glad to. Could you imagine if we did that? Hey, Mike, I just want to tell you, I rethought my position on the Post. You know what? They're a fine, fine publication.
You know what it would take, really, for us to rethink our position? It would take another 15 years of consistent fair treatment for us to reconsider our position. So maybe if they want to start now, you know, maybe they can build that thing up.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was doing some thinking. Golly, they're a fine, fine, well-respected newspaper. It must have just been an oversight that they printed 55 different radio shows and left us out again, which they've done repeatedly.
I tell you, there's nothing I enjoy more than reading that reliable source. Did you hear about that lobbyist that opened a new restaurant?
That was fascinating! And say, when I was reading today, good for Daryl Green.
Yeah,
isn't that great?
Yeah.
Say, why should Daryl Green have to take out an ad in the real estate section?
No need for that when he can go to the reliable source
and sell his home for $435,000. Why, that's a free advertisement.
Yes, that's an actual listing for a home that's in a gossip column.
I think that if the Post likes you, you get favorable treatment.
Oh. That's the way that works.
Well, I'm here to change that right now and tell you that I've had a change of heart. I'm here to say something nice about the Washington Post.
Bravo!
Right.
Huzzah!
Please.
Yeah.
Please, please, please. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Hey, Dave.
I'm canceling my subscription to the Post.
Well, that's very brave of you, but yeah. I urge you to do whatever you feel necessary. I will tell you that I am not canceling my subscription.
Nor am I.
You know, I'm in the habit. I'm
right.
Sorry. I get up in the morning, I got to look at the sports page.
Absolutely.
I got to do it. I can't live without it. I can't take a morning crap without a sports page.
Here.
I just can't
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh, do I have any streets to go?
No one has a bigger right to hate the Post than me or Mike.
Right.
But,
exactly.
You know, they're like the only game in town.
It's kind of like fighting City Hall is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we've done that for a long time, too.
Right. I just like
to
point.
I actually got a point, but I can do without.
All right. Well, thank you, my friend.
Okay. All right, later.
That's very brave of you. I'm not that brave.
It's a nice gesture.
Me and my bowels can't do without that stupid rag.
It's habit.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Johnny Atrix with you on a phone wearing Thursday afternoon, and me and my little brother Petey just want to say, F the Post.
Right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Whatever. Hello.
Yeah, speaking from speaking of the taking a crap, maybe you guys can take a hint from Lydian. Instead of saying Washington Post, you could use one of your amazing bowel evacuation sounds whenever you refer to
Will you just please leave the driving to us?
Absolutely.
Please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, it just gets too thick. Let it happen.
Hello.
I'm
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Last call.
Hello, Brian.
Thank you, Doctor.
Brian.
Hey, guys, what's way off the post? They've been awful friendly to me. I called over there to ask them about their oversight, and they explained to me that they just didn't have room for you today.
Yeah, right. When they use half a page and they print 55 other radio shows.
Hey, they'll make sure and make room for you guys tomorrow, along with all the other fine radio programs.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
That's Mr. Happy calling.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Did you see this thing in USA Today?
Oh, we're talking about another newspaper.
I'm
good.
An idea that I'm frankly fascinated with.
Okay.
The WWF Football League.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about that because they call it Smash Mouth Football. You think this will fly?
Yeah. The XFL.
It just strikes me as a dirtier version of the NFL.
From what they've described, it's not going to be like professional wrestling, meaning that it's not going to be fake.
Right.
They're going to get guys who are either not good enough to play in the NFL.
Right.
Or guys who are in the NFL who are now no longer good enough to keep playing in the NFL.
You know, years and years ago, and I came from, a small town, Hartford, Connecticut, where we had what was called semi-pro football. And that's what we used to, to get football, that's what we used to go see. And you had teams that were called the Hartford Knights. You had teams from the coal mining areas called the Pottstown Firebirds. They had a team down here, the Virginia Sailors. And they were semi-pro, but the difference between them and the NFL is you had these really, like, this was Smash Mouth
guys
football.
Guys would kick ass, right.
Absolute, not thugs, but they were tough guys, and it was fun to watch because it was really pretty intense stuff.
Well, it says here that they're going to have 8 teams. One of the teams will be in D.C.
Right.
That all of the games will be played outside. The season will be in bad weather from February through April.
Oh, I like that.
That they're not going to pay the players as much as the NFL. That the ticket prices are going to be less than the NFL, and that it's not going to be fake, and that no wrestlers will be playing football.
Right.
And that they're also going to have locker rooms wired for sound and video before and during games and at halftime. Cameras will be in the huddle and on the sidelines, and coaches will be hooked up to microphones.
That's good. I think that could work.
Yeah, I'm for it.
They're talking about using helmet cams a lot, and they say it's going to be much more in your face and a faster game than the NFL games that are played now.
I'm for it. A lot of people already have poo-pooed this idea, and they're going to have to get some kind of a TV contract,
right,
for it to succeed. Because if the games are not on TV,
yeah,
no one will watch
them. It's going to happen. You know, Americans have that appetite, and I think right around this time of year is a great time to do it, when you've got that lull, where everybody's really waiting for some sports. In fact, there's already a behind-the-scenes battle between Fox and CBS to get the rights to broadcast these XFL games.
Oh, is there really?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
How about that?
We'll have to ask Rupert about that, what he hears about
on tomorrow's episode.
We'll ask him about that.
Good. Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. I'm all for more football.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be WWF football or X football, whatever they call it.
I just wish they'd do one
That's
thing.
Fine.
No helmets.
Hello.
That to me would be great.
Hello, Matt.
Hey.
Hey.
You guys should have seen the press conference. You guys got to get Vince McMahon on the show. He was hilarious. This guy from the Bloomberg Report stands up and asks him, because the stock dropped like 4 points today right after the press conference.
Oh, when they announced their new football league?
Yeah. And, the guy from the Bloomberg Report stands up and says, well, what do you think about the analysts saying that this is a bad idea and that your stock's going to drop? And Vince McMahon goes, well, they can just kick my ass.
That's good. Vince McMahon, I grew up watching wrestling when Vince McMahon was this thin, skinny, pencil neck guy.
Isn't he like involved in that whole big steroid thing that the WWF went through?
I don't know if he is, but I'll tell you right now, he changed that body overnight. I mean, it just seemed like overnight he turned into this big, I'm a wrestler.
Well, I'm all for it. Thank you, my friend.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It's just sad that this man is not alive today to be a part of this new football league. Big John Studd.
This is Big John Studd, and I never listened to Donna and Mike. Donna and Mike. This is Big John Studd, and I never listened to Donna and Mike.
I gotta hold this up. I do a lot of these, and it takes a while.
This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and...
Never listen to Don and Mike.
This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and...
Donna and Mike. I want to say Donna and Mike.
This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike on 106.7. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike on 106.7. WJFK.
Is that done? This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike. You're going to edit this, aren't you? Okay.
This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike on 106.7. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike on 106.7 WJFK Radio.
Love that. I love that. He was a good guy, too. One more call, man. I think we got a guy about the steroids. Hello, Mike?
Hi, Don.
Mike in Spokane, Washington?
Yes. That league, what are the other seven cities?
New York, right. L.A., San Francisco, D.C., Miami, Orlando, and two more to be named.
Right. Nothing in Seattle up here in the Northwest.
No, I don't think so. I got to go. Here's a guy who knows about the steroids. Scott.
Yeah, hey guys, what's going on?
What's the deal with that guy in steroids?
Oh, Vince? Yeah. Vince, the reason, like Mike was saying, he went from such a pencil neck geek to, so buff overnight is because he was on roids, too.
He was on roids.
On roids.
Yeah. And we're not talking about hemorrhoids.
We're talking about steroids.
Okay, thank you, my friend.
Yeah, no problem.
What do Eskimos get when they sit on ice blocks? Polaroids.
We will be right back.